Welcome to VFN Radio. I want to give you a shout out this wonderful Friday. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me this morning on VFN Radio, the wonderful co-host who stood in the gap, did a wonderful job, John Ramos.
Good morning, good morning.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Also joining us, of course, is the producer of VFN Radio, Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
I just want to encourage you this morning with all the news that you're seeing out there and all the wonderful things setting on the cliff, as they would put it. Our Lord and Savior can say freeze when somebody tries to push them over the cliff and he just walks out of trouble.
That's right.
Our God delivers us from all our enemies' plans. You are listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me today, this Friday, to encourage you, is John Ramos.
Good morning.
Good morning, John and Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
Here we are on Friday. It's so good to be back in the saddle. Oh, my goodness. All this prophecy is coming to pass. I just had to be a part of sharing what's taking place. Isn't it amazing? Everything the Lord has told us, you know, is
absolutely
very amazing.
Unfolding so rapidly. Rapidly,
yes.
Right? And isn't it's just, oh my goodness, I want to get on to be able to remind everybody that, you know, God has told us about this.
Yeah.
God has told us about it. I want you to be encouraged that you know, you want to hear what God's saying. You know, what he tells us, and he writes to us prophetically in the book of Revelation, he tells us what the Spirit, he says, if we listen to what the Spirit says to the church, then we can be safe.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
We can't predict what he's going to say. We just got to listen to what he says, and we just obey it. You want to get your mind out of it, right?
Right.
That's right.
A mind is a terrible call to waste, right?
Yeah. That's right.
I was called, but I thought about it. Right?
Right. Exactly.
Exactly.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I just want you to know there's no Saint shirts on today.
No,
not today.
No Saint. Okay.
Even though they scored, they won. Right?
Yes.
Last Sunday.
Yes, last Sunday.
Yep, they did.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw it in the archives.
Yeah.
I want to give a big shout out this morning and an early happy anniversary to Brett and Sharon Holderbaum in Denver.
Oh, cool.
Tomorrow's Saturday is going to be their anniversary.
Very nice.
I'll tell you what, those guys are so loving and so kind of excited about what God is doing in Denver through their faithfulness out there. We also give a shout out to our new members of our virtual audience that's joining us around the globe. Maria Narvez, welcome. Maria and Leticia Dennis, hey, welcome. Nancy and Acacia and Michael and Melvin and John and Lauren and Tish and Todd and Tyler and just so many of you guys, Ash, Heidi, Janet. We don't ever get to name all of you. We're just so excited. We want to acknowledge those that are coming in and join us in this conversation. This conversation is so important. And when we were a part of the beginning of what God was doing, we were saying things that didn't make a lot of sense to a lot of people. It didn't even make a lot of sense to us, but we knew that's what God said do. Mm-hmm. And it looks like, hey, you know, these guys had it all figured out. No, we just obeyed God and everything just started unfolding around us.
Right.
That's right.
And it's happening just like God said it would. And, you know, it's important to remember this. If you haven't yet gone to VFN TV, you need to go to VFN TV. You can get there at VFNTV.com and watch and see some prophetic teachings about what's going on right now. The big question you have to ask yourself, and no matter what religious folk tell you, it's a good question. Is America under God's judgment?
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
And it's so important because if it isn't, then relax. If it is, you need to pay attention because it's only going to get worse.
That's right.
Right.
And then, you know, another particular teaching that you need to hear now is also no one cries for justice. Mm-hmm. Justice is important because what God wants, and justice is just putting things back in its rightful order again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, marriage is out of order, family's out of order, business is out of order, the nation's out of order, the courts are out of order, genderness is out of order, everything's out of order, sexuality's out of order. Mm-hmm. And so justice is just putting things back in its rightful place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's so important to understand that. If not, we won't cry for justice because we think, you know, because I'm out of place, because I'm not in the place I should be, then I'm going to suffer greatly if I ask God to bring justice on the situation.
Right.
And what you'll find out in the teaching, why the gospel is called good news, because God is a just God and he's the one that justifies, but he served justice on his son.
Mm-hmm.
For everybody that comes and makes Jesus the Lord of their life and repents for our sins, that justice that's due us, Jesus took it.
That's right.
It's not that the gavel doesn't go down and that you don't get a sentence sent your way. It's the fact that Jesus says, I'll take that.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take that. 5 to 10 years, I'll take that. A life sentence, I'll take that. I mean, everything that was due us, Jesus took for us. And so the only way things are going to be right is when they get back in their order again. But mm-hmm. if God's people won't cry for justice, if we won't cry for God's order again,
right.
And then it's just going to get worse.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like this shifting is taking place, this huge uh-huh. shifting, you know, in my spirit. Remember, I was away on my sabbatical, and I was, when I came back, if you haven't heard Brace Yourself, you can go to VFN Torch and listen to Brace Yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that was coming fresh out of off a sabbatical when God was speaking to me. But I knew, and as soon as I pulled in that parking lot, the Lord just spoke to me and said, it's done.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
The shift took place. And Syria is playing a major prophetic role right now. But right. as we speak right now, Israel's having to defend themselves by things that we escalated around them. Mm-hmm. You know, our leadership mm-hmm. escalated around them. And the Muslim Brotherhood. When you hear Hamas, you know, they do a real good job of separating themselves from their militant arm, because Hamas is their militant arm.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can go to the VFN Torch also and see, I think it's Islam 101. Muslim Brotherhood 101.
Right.
And it's just the basic understanding of the Muslim Brotherhood. And you'll see how Hamas is the militant arm. They separate themselves from that, and they talk about Hamas like it's some other entity out there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's actually mm-hmm. Secretly, if you would call it secretly. I mean, people just lie in your face today. They don't tell secrets.
Yeah.
Like, let me get this straight. Did you just lie to me in my face?
All right.
And so Hamas is the one that was firing the shots into the 300 some odd missiles into southern Israel. One of them went 30 miles, reportedly by CBN News, into Tel Aviv, where Avi is.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
That's the capital.
Mm-hmm.
That's the capital of Israel. And now it seems like it was interesting because one of the ladies were being interviewed by CBN News, and she said, I don't know how the people in southern Israel live. I can now relate to them. And it's like, oh, my goodness, all this time you weren't relating to all those hundreds of missiles being fired over until one hit Tel Aviv?
Wow.
Isn't that amazing? It's like
In your own country.
Yeah, a little small country, you know.
Mm. Exactly. Yeah, the prime minister said that, not the prime minister, the defense minister, Barak, he says that if Tel Aviv gets struck or gets hit, it's going to be massive retaliation for that. Just put a warning out there.
Well, reportedly by CBN News they fired in retaliation. They took 500... they took all their jets and went to Gaza and destroyed 500 missile sites.
Wow.
500 missile sites. And the expertise, I know you guys were talking about it, how that they could just take one car out on a road in the middle of mm-hmm. nowhere.
I know. It was amazing.
Amazing.
Yeah, all that time we told our children, quit playing that PS2. It's like, I think they're fighting us with PS2.
Exactly.
And on the Xbox, you know. And so... But, you know, I wanted to share this morning, you know, some of the things that God's been laying on my heart. We're seeing things totally unfold. Realize that when Nebuchadnezzar came up, and if you find about Nebuchadnezzar, he was the leader of Babylon, that God called him his servant. God established Nebuchadnezzar as his servant to be able to do certain things. And we talked about mm-hmm. it. You can also go to VFN TV and watch Josiah. But understanding that God will... You can't fight against God.
Mm-mm. Not and win.
And not win. I mean, you just find yourself fighting against God. But, you know, what's happening right now is they are, it looks like from the beginning, just like we did at the VFN family gathering when we talked about that we got to be real careful, because Jehoiakim, you know, just Josiah's son, was God's set man, even though God used Egypt to put him in place. And we want to be careful also to honor our authority, you know, honor those that are putting authority over us. And I've, you know, I had a chance to see a few things that are being said about our president. Listen, that's our president. You know, we need to be very careful. We need to honor him. We need to pray for him. You know, we've been praying for him for his whole first term.
That's right.
Sure.
And we want to continue to pray for him. Listen, the Lord is in control. He's totally, absolutely in control. And if you look at what the church has done or hasn't done in America, and how, look, half of America just voted for a particular party that was willing to take God out of their platform, willing to tell Israel they're on their own. And so that's our country. You know, that's our country. And so you can suffer for that.
That's right.
And so when you're looking at this taking place over there with Hamas, so you can replace the word Hamas with Muslim Brotherhood and it will fit. And so the Muslim Brotherhood, who is president, also they have the presidency now, Morsi over Egypt.
Morsi.
That's the southern border of Israel. And then you have, so the Muslim Brotherhood is the president of Egypt and taking control over Egypt. Then you have Gaza, which is the other part of the southern ports of Israel, which is the Muslim Brotherhood firing 300 missiles into Israel. Then you have Syria being overtaken by the Muslim Brotherhood. And then you have Iraq and all these other areas, Libya and places that we've empowered the Muslim Brotherhood. It's like a caliphate just birthing all the way around.
And not to mention Iran that's sitting out there.
Yeah, Iran. And that is just a huge caliphate. And the caliphate is where the Quran is their law and jihad is their way. And this is dangerous times, because ever how goes Israel goes the church.
That's right.
You know, we talk about that, JJ. I know that you guys played a segment like JJ. That's so important. It stands for Jesus and the Jews. And, of course, Jesus is a Jew, but he's also the firstborn amongst the church. And when you find out, you know, what they, it's relevant when somebody says, here's $1 million, here's $1 million. Okay, tell me what you think about JJ. You know, because normally what happened during the time of Hitler, they were giving everybody what they wanted. And but if they would have asked about JJ, they would have said, oh, the Jews, we want to exterminate all the Jews. Then you would have known, oh, I don't want these things, because these things, you know, you're trying to bribe me.
They have strings.
They have huge strings that are tied to huge problems. But I'm seeing, I'm seeing over and over again a shifting taking place right in front of our eyes. This present leadership has a great way of changing the argument. You know, and the power of a speech is so prevalent today, because you forget the fact that men get places that they're getting because they have the ability to give a speech in a certain way that stirs people's hearts to get them to buy into whatever they're doing. Just, you know, one good speech turned a nation one way and another good speech turned a nation another way. And it's like, are you that easily swayed?
Wow.
But the truth is, mankind are. They are.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my goodness. And so you're looking at right now where, remember we talked about earlier where we'd never heard about things that happened down in Central America with a Secret Service.
Right.
That's right.
And not that things that hadn't happened before, but Secret Service is a quality, you know, these are quality men and women. I mean, they're the top. And they've done an excellent job of protecting our presidents. And they're kind of there, but not there.
Right.
But they got shamed. They got shamed by sexuality. They got seduced or anyway, and they took sexuality. And the church is like, come on, Jiminy crickets, you know? But everybody bought into it, and they're just like, I'm just shocked.
Right.
I'm just shocked. And it's like, have you read your Bible? Oh, no, no, it's right. You haven't read your Bible.
Yeah,
right,
exactly.
Only 19% even read their Bible. But listen, and so they put shame on the Secret Service and embarrassed them before the world. And I believe everything in my spirit, and not just saying this out of my spirit, not what I know in the natural sense, that there's a shifting that took place at that point. You know, people, okay, we're going to pull these people out and put these people in, because I know some people retired and resigned or whatever. And then we see a shifting taking place with our generals. I mean, all this stuff with our the head of the CIA.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Think about it. The leader, which was a 4-star general, mm-hmm. you know, David Petraeus.
Right.
Petraeus. These are excellent people. Mm-hmm. These people are just, you know, it's just to the depths of melancholiness. They know what they're doing. You know,
exactly.
There's no accident.
Very successfully.
Right.
Right.
But it's reportedly that when they moved General Petraeus from Afghanistan to CIA, they already knew this was going on.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you know? They pulled it out right after the election, and they shamed the leader of Central Intelligence Agency.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then they shamed the general, who saying he's sending, you know, pictures without shirts on to somebody.
Yeah. That was the FBI.
That's minor. That's minor compared to the congressman in New York.
Wiener.
Yeah.
Yeah, Congressman Wiener. It's just like, come on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we went over the statistics. Listen, the church is deep into sexual sin.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But yet the church is buying anything sexual. It's crazy what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with the imagery and all the things that we're talking about, mm-hmm. you know, and you know, I don't know what the statistics are, but it's 50% or more are addicted to internet pornography. And we've talked about that before. You can find that on the VFN Torch. And we got to respond to this. But one way we can't respond to it is buy into Satan's attempt to destroy.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you're looking at, that they're replacing the leadership of the Secret Service, the leadership of CIA, the leadership of our military. Mm-hmm. I don't know what they're going to do with the FBI situation, but there's like throwing all of our leaders under the bus. And it's like, what's going on here?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Are people getting put in place to be able to, this is what God laid on my heart, and we need to really begin to talk about this, and we'll talk more about this in the future, is martial law. I feel like in my spirit, I don't know this because somebody told me this, I just feel like that in my heart, that you put all your people over all these agencies, over the CIA, over the FBI, over the military, you can fulfill your plan much quicker.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
You remember when Jehu came in to be able to take out Jezebel and Ahab, the way to take them out was they had to remove all of her heads, all the heads of her sons, his sons.
Mm-hmm.
And which means the leadership had to be, but they actually removed the heads too. So,
right.
But obviously not condoning anything like that, but the headship, it makes a difference who's over God's people, who's over in the nation. And I want to encourage you as a believer to wake up.
Mm-hmm.
To wake up. There's still time to wake up, but you have to wake up. Listen, if what you have been doing was right, we wouldn't be here.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. We wouldn't be at the edge of losing our nation.
Right.
It is possible. All of Israel was in captivity under Ahab and Jezebel.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
King Ahab and Queen Jezebel. Mm-hmm. The whole nation was. Just a few thousand people were held to the side. And when you see a huge wide road of people going in a wrong direction, everything inside of you says, well, I must be right because most everybody's going in this direction. But this is the question you ask yourself. But if it's right, if it is right, then why is all this taking place?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if God is pleased with what we're doing, you know, then why is this taking place? Well, one is it could happen prophetically where it's just time for things to shift. And I really believe it's shifting. But when you look around, look at the Word of God and see what God says that we're supposed to be doing, we're not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in Ephesians 4, he tells us that the purpose of the fivefold ministry, which is, you know, apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists, is to train God's people up for works of service. You're supposed to be doing something, sir.
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to be doing something, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
And if you haven't gone and heard the institutionalized church rethinking the church, you got to hear it. Because this particular scene in Shawshank Redemption with Brooks.
Mm-hmm.
Brooks is that he'd rather be in prison than to be free.
Mm.
Right.
Please don't make me go out there and have to live life without an institution. Mm-hmm. And people will literally harm themselves. to keep from going out and telling people about Jesus. You know, obeying the gospel. It's amazing. And it's not going to work. I mean, we're going to do it. I mean, Father God is going to line his children up and we're going to obey him.
That's
we just may have a big, huge, you know, limp when we're doing it, right? But we're going to obey God. And God's name is going to be glorified. But America's a terrible nation to waste.
Yeah. It's a shame.
That's a terrible nation to waste. But you look what our president said about Israel defending themselves. He says, well, they have a right to defend themselves. But the question is, where are we in the context of standing up with Israel?
That's right. That's right. When you look at back into 1967, and looking on the torch and trying to locate that for us today, the prophetic word that was given that if we ask Israel, demand Israel to give up their land and to go back to 1967 border, then we're going to be in jeopardy of losing our land. And our land's going to be cut in half. And if you notice, we shared about this VFN radio earlier, that 34 states in the Union are signing petitions to secede from the Union.
Yeah, Rodney Brown, one of Rodney Brown's men, had a dream, a prophetic dream, and I don't know if he has it posted on his website or not, but he was in the dream. He was walking up to the altar. There's a revival service going on, just powerful move of God. And when he got to the altar, all of a sudden the flag appeared, the American flag, and then a star started sliding off the flag, and it came off, and then another one, and another one, and another one. And you know, just when getting prophetic dreams, he just knew that these are states seceding from the Union.
Wow!
But the thing is, you can't. It doesn't work like that. You know, it can work like that, but it really doesn't work like that. Normally, it's war. That means you go to war. And all of a sudden, you know, Florida is a country, and New Jersey's a country, and Texas is a country. You know, and they become sovereign nations unto themselves. And but that dream confirms exactly what's the splitting of the nation. And it comes to a point in time, you know, that if you don't like America, why don't you find another country? Why transform this one? Why fundamentally transform this one? Why not, you know, go find one somewhere? And if worse comes to worse, if we have to, why not just let's divide this puppy up, and this part will be live under the Constitution and under God. And you live under, I guess, Satan. But if you go to Haiti and you go to Haiti and
Dominican
Republic, they're the same piece of land. But you're looking at the plush lands of Dominican Republic is so beautiful. And all of a sudden, as soon as you get to Haiti, even though it's the same piece of land, all of a sudden it's just terrible. It's like a war zone. It's like hell. And what it is Haiti, there's Christians in Haiti. But they made a pact with the devil years ago when they were being held.
I think with France, right?
With France, because Napoleon wanted to, they wanted to get their freedom. And so they made a pact with the devil, if you get us free, we'll do this. And then Napoleon, by the way, needed money. And so we bought, during that time, on the Haitians' backs, by the way, we made the Louisiana Purchase. That's what we got. We gave him money for everything west of the Mississippi.
Oh,
it's interesting that the Meridian fault line that's prophesied about is that same fault line. What if God's going to take back everything west of the Mississippi?
Is just.
He's definitely just.
He is a just God.
And that's the reports. The reports are that, you know, the Mississippi is going to split because of the Meridian fault line, and that it's going to be so wide that you have to fly planes over to get to the other side over there.
All right.
And, but I want to encourage you with this. I want to, the only reason we know what we're saying is because, you know, we're abiding with God, and you can abide with him too. And God's just letting us know. But in that, remember when Abraham and Lot were walking out together and they had all their families and their flocks, and it looked like, they were just squabbling, you know, all of their people that was handling their flocks. There wasn't enough room for all the feeding and all. So Abraham says, listen, Lot, you can go to the right or you can go to the left. You can go to east, you can go to west. You pick whatever you want, and I'll take what's left. And then we got to get this mindset. If not, if we keep on trying to make it happen, then we're going to be in the same boat we're in now. And so Lot looks towards Sodom and Gomorrah, and he likes the city aspect of it, and he goes that way. And so Abraham just took what was left over. He didn't put up campaign signs. He didn't, you know, he just took what was left over. And as soon as Lot walked away from him, Abraham, the Lord spoke to him and says, look up as far as you can look, as far as you can see. I'm going to give this land to you.
Mm.
Isn't that awesome?
That is.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? If it does come to the point where they begin to split America, just relax, abide, be a doer of the word of God, not just a hearer of the word of God, and realize that God is with you.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, to be able to weed out a situation is you have to literally amputate it from your presence because it's not going to change.
Right.
It's just not going to change. But there's a people, half of this nation said yes to a right direction.
Mm-hmm.
And it's 50-50.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And I think more of the other half probably would if they would have had better, you know, explanation about Israel.
Mm-hmm.
But understand that if no matter what happens, if it comes to a split of a nation and these things start happening, it looks like people are preparing for it. You know, they're preparing for what they feel in their gut and their spirit's about to take place. And don't forget, that's how this nation was formed.
Mm-hmm.
Read the Constitution, because when you read the Constitution, you'll understand that what people are feeling is not unconstitutional. You know, at some point in time, sometimes you have to regain the place that you were. You have to take back where you were.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know, but I know this. I know that Abraham just said, pick what you want. And whatever he could have picked, west or east, whatever, it would be picked towards Sodom and Gomorrah. And when Abraham, who was a father of faith, which means he trusted God, when he did that, God blessed him. And we're living in that blessing today.
Mm-hmm.
Just hang in there with God. Abide with God. If you haven't started abiding with him, abide with him. Go to iabide.org to figure out a simple plan we have available for you right now. You can request it. But these are very interesting days. But be encouraged. God is with you. But it's happening so quick.
So quick.
So quick that this puppy can shift in the cloud. You can miss the cloud.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to make sure that you're paying attention. That's why VFN Radio's here and VFN TV. We're here to have a conversation with you that we can walk this thing out as we hear the voice of the Lord. We'll be right back.
If you've ever looked at the church and have thought to yourself, these people are just way too perfect for me to come around them, then you know what? You and I are a lot alike. That was my story. I thought everyone in the church was just perfect, and I was the only one with issues. But guess what? Everyone that comes to Jesus has a background. We don't come to Jesus because we're perfect. We come to Jesus because we need a Savior. And you know, I was at that place. I was at that place where things weren't going right in my life. I was away from God. I was in sin. I was chasing after the world, trying to find an identity, trying to find myself. And the more I kept looking for myself, the more I went deeper and deeper into sin. But then I had an encounter. I had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And when that happened, everything changed. Yeah, my life wasn't perfect, but I met the one who is perfect. And with that, I'm absolutely okay. I want to encourage you to read my story. You can read other stories of people that were not perfect, but people who met the perfect one. Mm-hmm. You can go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
You know, John, I think about the goodness of Jesus Christ. When I hear about the joy and the goodness and the life and the celebration that I read in the Word of God that Jesus talks about. You know, when I hear about religion and I read the Word of God and I hear man's religion, then I hear Jesus, there's a big difference. And I hear about what Jesus is saying, and it's just like, I want to know the Jesus that Jesus talks about. I want the joy that Jesus talks about. And if you're ever wondering, how do I get that joy? How do I get that goodness, that life, that happiness that Jesus talks about? I want to encourage you. You can get that relationship. You can get that daily joy through abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. Go to iabide.org. Jesus Christ has love and he's got joy specifically for you. iabide.org.
Steve, Pat, it's the weekend. Now, you do know what that means.
Oh, yeah.
The Marathon Weekend.
That's right. It's the Marathon Weekend, boys, and you don't want to miss it. Saturday, 9 a.m. all the way till Monday, you'll be able to catch back-to-back VFN radio programs. You certainly don't want to miss it. No interruptions, no commercials, just pure education, pure inspiration, pure revelation on Marathon Weekend. Don't miss it.
I think about that Promise Keepers when Coach McCartney began, you know, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get men together and we got to get people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea. Mm-hmm. It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. Mm-hmm. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
And what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history, our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep and they got back seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death. And we had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden, people would find God. People would get saved. And and he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time. Mm-hmm. And you think about this, you think about how very specifically that here we are today.
Right.
What we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums fill with people. We've seen them fill with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this in VFN radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him, but with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled yourself all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on Fill the Stadium Now, and maybe it's $1 a month. Maybe it's $2 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once, and look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on Giving. Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat and John. Well, isn't it awesome how God lets us know prophetically what's taking place?
Yes, it is.
You know, sometimes you can hear things. I remember I went to a time in my life that I'm thinking, I would literally wake up out of a sleep, and God had shared so many things with me in my sleep that I'd be upset about the condition of things. Mm. And then finally, the Lord just impresses on me one day. It's like, I'm just letting you know what already is, but if you're going to have that kind of attitude about it, I'm not going to share with you. I'm like, oh, never mind. Because sometimes you feel like you feel this obligation.
Sure.
Or you feel you're broken over the whole situation. But in Ezekiel, he says he rewards those who are broken over the situation.
Right.
And this is you want to be safe. This is how you can be safe. Know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Amen. Abide with him. And ask God to break your heart while his heart is broken. And in Ezekiel, he tells us very specifically that he sent an angel to put a mark on everyone whose hearts were broken over the condition of God's people. And so when this death came in, all the battle storm came in, it surpassed the people that were broken over it. If you're not broken over the condition, that's a dangerous place to be.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are broken over the fact that they may have lost their job, broken over the fact that their particular political leader that they wanted to get in office didn't get in office. But if you're broken over the condition of God's people, you know, which is the church, and that's a positive thing. And because quite often, if you are broken about it, and there's not many people broken about it, you start thinking, what's wrong with me? Everybody's singing and dancing and drinking, you know, wine from golden goblets and saying like nothing's, it's like all of a sudden a hand will appear one day and say, many, many hearken you far from you. You've been waiting the balances and left wanting. Realize that it's right to feel broken over a bad situation when you see God doesn't want anything bad to happen to anyone. So even your enemies, don't even rejoice when they suffer. You know, just you just want everybody to know God. You know, Moses was really good about that. You know, he was a friend of God. But when people were coming against him and they were suffering consequences, he had compassion. He was broken over their condition and asked God to heal them, you know, when that took place. But, you know, I just want to continue on with this last part of this prophetic thing, the Lord, prophetic dream that God gave me just recently. And I want to get it out there so it's out there so we can measure it by its accuracy by once we get it out there. Hey, this is it.
Right.
That the Lord showed me that we're spending ourselves into oblivion. I mean, just spend. The government, it's John, you remember we went to the Holocaust Museum in New York and we saw the Weimar Republic. The money that was there, and it took a wheelbarrow of money trying to be able to buy bread. And the reason why that happened is because they kept printing money. They kept printing money, and the more money you print, the less value. You can have it. For example, you can have $100 in the bank, and it's worth $100. But then if they go out and print an extra $100 that wasn't in the market before that, it lowers your value. Even though you have $1 bills, for example, in the bank, they can no longer buy what $100 could buy anymore. They can only buy, for example, $50 worth of stuff. So you can be robbed of all your retirement, of all your money, of all your cash, if you would, mm-hmm. by nobody ever, ever, ever going into your bank account. Because every time they print money, the money that's in your bank account is worth less. Worth less. And what the Lord showed me, this strategy that's going on right now, and it is a world thing. This is a world thing. Listen, America is what, 4.5% of the population of the world?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's not many. And that you know, men still want to rule the world.
That's right.
And you know, it's part of Satan's strategies. But with that, when you're looking at unions and that type of thing, when you look at the people that are heading up this movement, this organizer movement, community organizing, it's a world organizing movement now, and they say workers of the world unite. They're wanting to get everybody, everything to be upside down. All of a sudden, the workers of the world are uniting and unionizing, if you would, against the 1% or the ones who actually, you know, put the effort out to build a business and to and to establish it and to write the rules that they're living in now that they're trying to change. And so you're looking at, when you read what book? The World is Flat. Who wrote that?
Thomas Friedman.
Thomas Friedman. When you read his book, Thomas Friedman's book, The World is Flat, it just all makes sense in the logical mind sense. If you remove God from your knowledge and you look at it as a practical way to do things, they're going in the way that looks practical. But it's not practical. Removing God is unpractical because he's the one that actually gives you the ability to get wealth. He's the one that sustains you. He's the one that holds back the floodwaters. He's God. And so this thing is a worldwide WOW. W-O-W is what the Lord laid on my heart. It's a workers of the world unite. And that's their goal, is to organize, like an organized labor in America. They want to organize the labor, Asian labor, the Indian labor. And all of a sudden, this whole labor pool is going to be all over the world. And it's going to be unionized, if you would. This is whether it's going to succeed or not. This is their economy. They want that one world type economy. And by the way, unless we're willing to back off all the benefits that we get from this worldwide web, then we're going to have no choice but to go into a one world economy, because we're in a one world. We're sacrificing our constitutional rights every day with, you know, Facebook and all this data online and everything we're doing, all of our information is going out. The FBI is searching the CIA's emails. I mean, come on. That's huge. That's a violation of his amendment. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That is unheard of. You know, the CIA investigating the FBI is one thing, but that's just crazy.
Yeah. Well, we shared on this, is the Electronic Communications Act of 1986. In there, they're using those loopholes, and any data, any email that stays on your server for more than 180 days is considered abandoned. And so, I mean, over 180 days. And it's like, because now people are using Gmail services like Yahoo. But before, when this act was enacted, it wasn't staying on the server that long. But now people are storing emails. It was like,
yeah, did you tell them about the complex in Utah, where they have this whole huge complex in Utah? The whole purpose of it is to store all of our data.
Wow.
Everything that's ever happening, going to happen, did happen. And what happens is, if something goes wrong, in other words, you get suspected of a crime or something, they can put a search warrant in now to go back and search your data that they have for the last 10 years, 20 years.
Right.
Wow.
Right.
They're not going to search it. I mean, obviously, if they can blow up the Constitution, they have all that data. But if today they can get a search warrant now and go back and search your past data as they're storing it all. You know, we got to get the segment on "All have searched and fallen short of the glory of God" and get that out there.
Right.
But I want to share this prophetic dream the Lord showed me about this, you know, spending ourselves out of oblivion. Is the Lord showed me all of our military. You know, our military, God has blessed America in such a way that we have troops all the way around the world. We have the strongest military in the world. Next to, you know, we're the strongest military in the world. We're just powerful military. Our present president is disarming, and he don't see it as disarming. He sees it as just managing it in a different way. I'm not saying his intents are evil or anything, but he's dismantling it to a, quote, more intelligent, smarter type lean, you know, carriers and things. You know, we got carriers and ships anyway.
Right.
And so, but the truth is, when you're finding out, if you've been watching the Arab world, for example, that radical Islam only respects power, that, you know, it's force, not an intellectual argument. You just got to be bigger and stronger. Mm-hmm. It's the old grammar school argument. But what I saw was that we spent ourselves in such oblivion that all of our troops were coming home from all the foreign lands.
Mm-hmm.
And when America pulls out, if America pulls out of all these areas, darkness is just going to cover the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all over the place. And we're peacekeeping troops and, you know, helping out. And we're doing so many different things that we do, you know, with Japan. And we're all over there right now. It's where the Secretary of State's over there. And the President just got back from being in the Asian area.
South Korea.
And there's a lot of things going on. The second biggest economy in the world is China.
Mm.
They can affect the entire world how they do business. They just got a brand new leader.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
But I saw the military coming home. But when I come to think about it, the Lord revealed the very same thing to John Paul Jackson, didn't he?
Yeah,
sure did.
You know, and you can find that on the Elijah Storm of VFN TV. But in that, the Lord showed John Paul Jackson that because we ran out of money, we couldn't afford to keep our troops there and start bringing them home. And the logical argument, and we're so caught up in the, you know, the fire at my feet right now, nobody's looking down the road.
Mm-hmm.
And if we keep on just putting out fires at our feet, there's going to be a furnace in our future.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the goal is to destroy us. And I saw that. I said, man, I just saw. And the whole point of spending us into oblivion, that is another way not only to decrease the value of what you have in your homes and your bank accounts and all that, but it's also a way to restructure your nation, to fundamentally transform America.
Mm-hmm.
And once we pull out, if this comes to pass,
mm-hmm.
once we pull out, it's just like holding these floodwaters of evil is being held back,
right. mm-hmm.
are just going to come in.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to share that. I really feel like that the Lord showed me, and one of the strategies is, you know, for example, if I was president, I thought bringing the troops home would be the best way to be. It was better.
Mm-hmm.
And Congress was fighting me on it. And the Senate was fighting me on it, then I would just find another way to do it. And so mm-hmm. he's finding another way to do it by spending, we're not going to have any money to pay everybody.
Mm.
And from day one, our current president, he just said that, you know, he found out it's easier to get things done out of Washington than in Washington. So what he's been doing is going around our representative government. And the reason why it moves slow and the reason why they give you a hard time is because nobody, no president, no congressman, no senator, mm-hmm. should be able just to push their way through without going through all the people's representatives there to be able to weigh it out and balance it.
Mm-hmm.
But they have an open standing order, which is the QE3, which is to print $40 billion a month with no end on it. $40 billion a month. The first one, there was a certain amount of money, QE1. QE2 was a certain amount of money. But the last one, it was, although it seemed like a smaller figure, it was $40 billion. But it's $40 billion a month indefinitely. They can just keep printing it. Every time they print it, the value of your money in your checking account, the value of your paycheck, and the reason why you're seeing gas go up, it's not that gas got more expensive. It's that your dollar is less valuable.
Wow. Right. Doesn't go as far.
It doesn't go as far. Gas didn't go up. Your dollar's value just went down. Now imagine this. Imagine, and this is one thing the Lord showed Deuteronomy's grandson,
mm-hmm.
was North Korea, Russia, and possibly China. I don't know who the other nation was, making a covenant, an agreement that why should the dollar be the everything's traded on the dollar.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter what anybody's money is. They have to first convert it into dollars before they buy something.
Mm-hmm.
Oil, for, you know, oil.
Right.
Now imagine that we lose that. Then no longer the dollar's not used anymore. So we have to convert, you know, our money to rubies, or convert our money to. So it could cost us overnight.
Mm-hmm.
It could cost us $10,000 for a loaf of bread.
Mm.
Yeah.
Dollar bills.
Well, it's a congressman. I forget where he's from, but right now he's saying he wants to be paid in gold.
Yeah.
No, it's like,
yeah,
come on now. You know, the post office is reporting New York Times that they're losing close to $16 billion, and you know, there's just no money for the post office.
$16 billion a month.
Well, it says the post office on Thursday reported $15.9 billion net loss for the fiscal year.
Okay,
as for the year, but you know, there's
something about this too, where everything's going the way of digital. Mm-hmm. And they're going to say at some point, why are we wasting this money with paper? Mm-hmm. Let's just go all digital. But remember, going all digital means Utah's storage place that the CIA or whoever's running that. Now, every communication you've ever had with your grandmama, with your sons and daughters and husbands and wives and employees and employers.
Well, what's being talked about as well here recently with just, you know, new administration and just the new goals and new vision is that wanting to protect for cybersecurity, making sure that everything is secure on the internet, the government may try to, you know, take parts of the internet over now. And so it's like, oh my goodness.
Yeah. Lord laid on my heart that that this is a short bridge of time. This is a very short bridge of time. And we don't know how much time we have to be able to do what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But I have it sitting in my office, and it's been there probably for about the last 6 months. Mm-hmm. Was that we have access right now. We're talking to you on VFN radio. We have access to VFN TV around the world. Obviously, mm-hmm. people are getting VFN radio and VFN TV around the world, and we're able to do things so much quicker, get mm-hmm. the word out. But there's coming a moment in time that I can't tell you how it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Where all of a sudden the United Nations, and this is one of their goals, is to tax the internet.
Mm.
Mm.
And that's one of their revenue sources. Imagine mm-hmm. every email that you send, you know, you have to pay a penny or something to the United Nations.
Mm.
And right. And the goal is it's a world. We got to be willing to give up the world to keep our country.
Mm-hmm.
We got to be willing to give up greed and say, you know, even if we have less, and that's, you know, President Woodrow Wilson, the reason why he went into World War I was because when he said he wasn't going to go into any war, because the Europeans quit buying our products and he wanted a large government and we needed that tax. Mm. And so to maintain his vision for large government, we had to get the Europeans back into the buying position again so that we can build big government.
Mm.
And it was a whole thing. We went to war. Because that was the motive, to get people to pay taxes on our foreign trade that would allow Woodrow Wilson to have a big government to be able to provide what his vision was. And he's the one that the League of Nations that we talk about and mm-hmm. United Nations today.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to be willing to be satisfied with what God's given you instead of wanting the world.
Mm.
You know, you got to be willing to say, you know what? We got to put up not only physical borders, but we have to put up digital borders.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be willing to say, if we want to go to another nation, we're going to have to go there.
Right.
But we're not going to just get there virtually, because if you can get there virtually, they can get there virtually to you.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's made, if what we're doing is public to, you know, Bubba, and if it's public to the government, who's not supposed to be searching any of our data,
right.
It's public also to Russia. You know, and what I understand, what happens with America collects all of Canada's data, and then since Canada can't search their people's stuff, then we can search Canada's stuff for them and tell them.
Oh, wow.
And in a sense, and then Canada collects all of our stuff. We're collecting it too now, but for regards to knowledge, they can tell us what's happening in our country.
Wow.
And so it's just, listen, there's nothing hidden that will not be shouted from the rooftops.
Mm.
We have a limited amount of time. The hope for America and the hope for mankind is Jesus Christ and his church obeying him.
That's right.
You're going to win the lost. You know, there's a rapid multiplication of Muslims around the world, but they're doing it through migration.
Mm-hmm.
But realize a Muslim can get saved.
That's right.
But you have to actually go tell them about Jesus to get saved.
Mm-hmm.
You have to go and evangelize. You have to go. And it's amazing. You know, I know this firsthand. It is amazing how hard it is to get somebody to live their life in a way that they are making Jesus known to someone else.
Mm.
But a time is coming and has now come that you're not going to have a choice. You're either going to be for him or against him. Mm-hmm. And that, and it's a good thing, but it's a sad thing that we could not do it with all this blessing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sad thing that we had to give up so much to be able to obey the Lord, because it's not the great suggestion. It's the great commission.
That's right.
And understand this. I want to encourage you as we're coming to the last part of this first hour is, it's not strange that everything inside of you would feel like lethargic and feel like in your emotions, you know, you're not wanting to do what's right, even though you know you need to do what's right at the time you need to do it. Understand that's an attack on your emotions.
Mm-hmm.
This thing is not driven by our emotions. The church is led by Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. I mean, how did Paul feel when he was stoned? Do you think he emotionally felt well?
Right.
You know, how did Peter feel when he was locked up in prison?
Mm-hmm.
How does it feel? And it's like, we're so into feelings. Mm-hmm. It must not be right because I'm feeling pain or I'm feeling bad. Right. Or it's like, no, you can obey God no matter what you're feeling. You can do what's right because it's right.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to challenge you, you know, begin to abide with the Lord, you know, challenge your church gathering where you gather at to begin to abide with the Lord and begin to personal transformation, then transformation from those around you, and begin to just progress that transformation over the people that you fellowship with, so you guys can be the light that we're called to be in this gross darkness that's about to be on the face of the earth. A rough time is coming, but God will protect those who are his. Like I said, if you're broken over this condition, the Lord says in Ezekiel that he will put a mark on you. And he confirmed this right over VFN TV and VFN Radio Studios. He placed a mark over the studio after a 7-day fast to confirm this word to you. So we're telling you, he's confirmed it to be true. So be encouraged. You can't play church. You got to be the church. But how can you go to what you were anyway? All you can do is truly be. It's time to be the church. Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at VFNTV.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at VFNTV.com. You're listening to VFN Radio. For those that are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.